Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Well, hello. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. We pray that you enjoyed our little interlude here to our program. Do not be weary in well-doing here. And we want to thank God for what he's been doing in the ministry. We want to thank God for the guests, past, present, and future guests that's been a part of the show here. We want to thank you for being an average listener. You know, our show has been going on for a number of years, and we want to thank you for continually to encourage us through your calls and your emails, and for your applying our different guest gifts in your life. A lot of people call them, say, man, I call up one of your guests, and I got connected with them, and now we're doing something for the Lord. We're help changing life for the our Lord, and say, I love that. Help change a life for Jesus. I would like to take a moment here to make mention of the sponsor of this program, Granny's Place Ministry. Beverly Beasley and her staff, they sponsor this program and several other programs that's on this Blog Talk Network. And I come back later and I tell you the other programs that's on the Give a Nice. And you too can be encouraged with what's going on in the ministry. But this morning, I'd like to introduce to you a young man I met. We were at a program or at a function, and I met this young man, and we got to talking, and we had us a great time. And I said, man, I like to be a part of what you're doing. I like what you're saying, and I think other people need to hear what you're saying here. Brother Bond is on fire for the Lord. Brother Bond is involved in many activities, but yet he always have time to encourage other people to be about their Father's business. The next voice you'll hear will be my dear brother, Brother Bond. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our internet program. Brother, I am still on fire from where we, each time we talk, man, we just have us a good time all by ourselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We connected really well. I appreciate you.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. And I wanted to just again publicly thank you for being a guest on this program. You know, you could be doing things that you desire to do, but you put your own self aside to see the need to the needs of someone else and to help encourage someone else on a Saturday morning. You could be just relaxing in bed. You could be out doing some yard work, things that men tend to do on their free time. You know, when we say this is my time,
right.
I'm going to work on a car, or do something this. But yes, you said now I'm going to share this ministry, and I'm going to encourage someone else to be strong in the Lord. So, Brian, tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself and tell us what God have you doing at this time.
Well, my name is Byron Bonds, and I am a member at Kingdom War Church located downtown Dallas right now. I'm under the leadership of Pastor Omar Jawa, and I'm also involved with he's also the founder of what is known as Urban Specialists. And what we do is his mindset. God has given him a vision to go out and change the culture, the systemic culture of violence and oppression in our own community. So I'm involved with that, and my passion and my part and my role is bringing men together, Mr. Lewis. And because it's our belief that one man can change one household. One man can change one neighborhood. Now, if one man has the power to change one household in one neighborhood, how much more powerful and more things can be done, and how much more change is there to be if two men can change two households? So
hey,
that's what
man, I hear you.
Yes, sir. That's what we're about, bringing men together and things of that nature with one accord.
You know, as you were saying that, you know, men, we have a big challenge ahead of us, because a lot of times you know, we done lived a life that wasn't pleasing to God at one time or another. We've been separated from our families and the women that went on and took on the role of a headship of the family, and they done raised the kids and paid the bills off. And then God touches their hearts and corrects our life, and we want to get back together. Yet there's a struggle there because the woman said, I've been doing this, girl, and now you want to come in. I want you to, but I just don't know. How can we as men navigate through those difficult times?
Well, it's my belief that before we can offer anyone anything, we have to be healed ourselves. Before we can offer healing to the household or to the community, we first must be healed. We must first be put back together and fixed and all those types of things. And this is what we have Urban Specialist. We have a group that meets every Monday called The Huddle. And we we deal with real men, real talk, real situations, seeking real solutions. And we come together, we meet as men, and we have food, and later on we watch the football game, Monday Night Football. But meeting together as men allows us to come together and be transparent, because we have a lot of men who are dealing with issues. And we realize men and women both want the same thing. When everything is done, we all want the same thing. And we're able to come together and be transparent with one another, just be honest and get the help that we need, not being judgmental, but having the compassion for each other, to uplift each other. And that's what we're here for, to connect. With the Urban Specialists, we are now in collaboration with the Dallas District 9 school area. We're pulling fathers out of that area, and it's called the Dad's Club, and we're bringing all mentors, uncles, dads, stepdads, all types of men who are positive and are engaged in our young people's lives. We want them to come and collaborate with us and grow with us and teach us and learn as we expound and as we prepare to be better men. And some of us learn how to be men because we weren't given a blueprint growing up on how to be a man. And so sometimes the issues that we walk around with because of our egos or pride or whatever the reason may be, we don't seek the help that we need. But in order for us to be productive and positive in the lives of our homes and with our women and with our children, we first must get fixed and be fixed ourselves.
Oh, that is so true. You said so right there a while ago, and you said that your organization, your group, also seek the experience and the knowledge of someone else that may come in to help these young men's mentoring. And I love that because we all don't have the answer to every situation. We need to have other people to come in that have a little experience, or even we sharing our experience. You know, because I do jail and juvenile ministry, and I have a young man and older men are wrestling with childhood issues. I like what you said, because when they were a child, someone told them, you just like your dad, you are never going to be any good, you're never going to develop any skills and talent. And here we are, we go through life, and that's echoing in the back of our mind there. I thank God for people like you and ministries and programs like you that's reaching into the lives of our young men. And shaping them, redirecting their thoughts. You know, I love electronics and technology, and those GPS systems are awesome, man. You know, our spiritual GPS system is just out, a little bit out of sync. And I love that, you know, it's getting plugged into God and God's people and God's agenda. Yes, it may be rocky, it may be some detours, it may be some delay, but God is still in charge.
Yes, sir, and that's the great part about being able to meet and look men in the eye, because we can tell a man to go read this scripture. We can tell a person to go read that scripture. We can use technology, but there's no emotion in it. So you cannot just hear me, but you feel me. You feel my compassion. You understand I'm nodding and I'm making eye contact with you. That means while you're talking to me, that lets you know that I care. I'm in tune to you and your situation and your issue. I care for you, brother. And that's what the benefit about coming face-to-face in groups and meeting with one another and talking to a man. My grandfather used to tell me, he said, a man recognizes another man. And when one cares for another, each other. Yes, sir.
Oh, that is so true. You know, I share that with guys. Me and you probably talked about it at one time or another, that we would read each other before we read about the literature or the information that we're sharing with them. How are you doing this here? How are you managing these situations here? I know they're tough. I know they're challenging, but I like the way you went through that, because of me, I would have done it somewhere else, and I probably would have messed this thing up. But I see how you navigated when you didn't have a job, how you just took a little job beneath your education until God propelled you back in the right position. I tell people, man, I went to school, I went to college, but I also had jobs on the back of trash trucks. I worked in warehouses.
Right.
I was pulling orders, man. You know,
right,
your job
right,
do not
right.
define your do not define your status in life and with God.
Right. Our pastor, Omar Jawas, tells this all the time. God is on your side. And what men
yes.
need to know is just like, is that someone, somewhere is on their side. And one thing that I've learned that is hard for to be an African-American man in 2016, it's hard. There are so many things that men are facing, and some men are contemplating in their mind giving up, and some men are confused. But what men have to know, everybody has to know, is that God is on their side. And God will pull you through if you can stand the pulling. And that's what we want to do. We want to come together and pull each other through. When one wants to give up, we can sacrifice a minute of sleep or a minute of or whatever to go and see about another brother. And I believe that's what Jesus meant. That's the love thy brother. Show the love, because God has so much love for us till he constrains us. He holds us together. And so I think it's our job to do the same, to hold one another up and hold each other together.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. I was just studying out of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, talking about love. It said, though I could do these things and have no love, it don't profit me nothing. Though I could speak and encourage and do stuff but have no love, I could tell you about God's love, but if I don't show you the love of God, you ain't going to think much of me or my God. And I like what you're saying, because we as men, we have to be able to encourage other men, because we fell short. And guess what? I didn't get here overnight, Brother Bond.
Right.
Did somebody
right.
help you along
right.
the way? You know,
yes, sir.
And that's something
that
we have to be mindful of, man. You know, and let's say that Jesus told Peter, said, Peter, when you are restored, Peter, you're going to get out of this. That's that part of being restored. You're going to be restored.
Yes,
you ain't
sir.
Got to live on the street like this. You ain't going to always be involved in the justice system. But when you do get out of this, you be mindful and help somebody else. You know,
yes,
I want to just share with you a portion of scripture I really enjoy. It's when David was down in a place called Ziklag, and his property was taken by the enemy, and his men had got lost faith in him and lost heart. And David went to his prayer closet, and he went before God. And David was a mighty man of God. David done some things. He done some things, but he also knew where his power would come from. He went before God. And he prayed on that situation, and God said, David, you're not gonna lose any of your property. Go get yourself. But along that way, David stopped and helped somebody, a man that was abandoned by the robberies. And then he was on the side of the road. And David and them, they stopped and they banished the man up. They gave him some nourishment. And the man said, hey, because of your kindness, I'm going to tell you where your property is. And I got to tell it, brothers and myself, don't ever get so busy pursuing the things of God, because they're coming, that we're not concerned about the people of God. Hey, brother, I'm going to stop and help you, because I'm following God. But along the way, God's going to put people in your path. And if you really love
yes.
me, you're going to love that person. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. We have to keep ourselves in a position where we're strong enough to be weak for others, not taking away from the man that you are, but just being strong enough to be weak for others, because to be able to go out and have the compassion to help other people and lift other people up. Like I said previously, I really do think this is what Urban Specialist is about. This is what we
yeah, come
do.
On now.
We go out, we invade, we intrude. Not asking permission, but we're invading and intruding culture. We're trying to change culture, where we are changing culture. The years and years and years and decades of systematic oppression in certain areas, violence and negative thinking, and you know, we want to change the culture, the value systems, what we find is valuable and has worth. And we want to do that, first of all, with God, but by restoring the family and the household and putting men right where they're supposed to be and with bringing men together so we can be an army equipped, helping one another first, thanking God first. And now we're intruding the homes and the neighborhoods and invading the culture and changing and uplifting our women. They do too much as it is. They go on too much. They stress too much. They made too many decisions. They've had to do and do and do. But we're coming back, and we're getting ourselves together. Can these dry bones live? Is the question.
Come on. And you know what? That is so true. And you said something there. You know, you, oh man, you got my mind racing 100 miles an hour for the kingdom. And you said something that they're doing too much. Man, you know, it hurts me, man, that we allow our wives and our girlfriends and to raise our sons. And they can do it. They've been doing it, but yet it's something that they need to see a man up under the hood of a car. They need to see a man changing a tie. They need to see a man cutting the grass. Mom could do it, yes, but I'm a man. I need to take on the role. When somebody comes to the door, I need to answer that door, Mom, because I'm the man of the house.
Right.
I tell my grandson, I say, when I leave the house, you're in charge. I give him that response, even as a young man, to let him know, hey, I expect for you to take on that role when I'm not here. I'm dad, I'm just a baby, but yeah, but you're a man. You know, I'm developing you.
Minister, we have to understand God is a God of order.
Yes.
There's no confusion in him. There's no lack in him in any way. He doesn't make mistakes. He is a God of order. And his order is that man be the head. Now, he's the head of man, but that man be the head and everything else will fall into place. How well can our neighborhoods and our communities and our cities in this country be when man gets back in his rightful place? No one has changed but man. I noticed something that, Minister, that the trees are obedient. When the seasons change, they change. When it's time for spring to change into summer, it does that. The flowers bloom when they're supposed to. Birds migrate when they're supposed to. The only one that doesn't do what it's supposed to do is man. The earth does what it's supposed to do. And so we need to come together and get back in God's order for our lives and our families and our communities and our cities.
All right, my dear brothers.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
I was just waiting on you to wrap it up. We have a couple of guests on the line here, and they would like to chime in on what we're saying here. Man, you really have the lines lit up this morning here, so please forgive me for that little slight interruption there.
Oh,
but,
hey, no
you
problem.
Really said some things. We're speaking to Brother Bonds here, and he's really on fire for the Lord. He's sharing with us some things that are concerning men, some things about how to retake our status in life for our men. Now, we know I'm saying retake because we gave those things away. We gave our family away. We gave our profession away. The enemy didn't steal everything from us. A lot of stuff we gave away. And so we're just talking about how to regain those things and how to speak into the lives of our young men. Because right now, the world wants them, but yet God have need of them.
Right.
Brother Bun, hold on a minute. We got Brother Salvador going to come on and say hello to you.
Okay.
We're going to bring him in here in a few
Salvador.
Minutes. Hey, good morning, Brother Salvador.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning.
God bless you. God bless
beautiful.
You. Thank you for calling in. We got Brother Bonds on the line there. Now, you've been listening to the program. So, what you know, give us some input on what you heard this morning. It encourage us.
Yeah, I just want to encourage all my brothers and sisters, man. I've been on this walk with the Lord, and I never realized we are we are our brother's keeper. You know what I mean? So as you know me, I'm a walking testimony, Joe. And I keep the Lord first, man. And I like how, Bonds was saying that you have to change who you are so you can change others. Cause you could change neighborhoods, you know, how you walk and talk. So I just like that, how he brought that up, and we just need to keep going, you know, and teach our young men, like how you say your nephew is man of the house sometimes, teach our young men to be have that leadership.
And that is so true. That is so true, because as they see us, they see how we handle the situation, good
exactly,
and bad.
Yeah.
They learning from us. You know, there's some good and bad in throughout life, but yet they see that and they start learning how to distinguish that. Brother Bonds, would you chime in on this here and encourage Brother Salvador to be strong in the Lord? He's on the right road.
Yes, sir. He is. He is. And see, I would like to connect with him off air as well. What we're trying to do at Urban Specialist, we want to make long-term relationships. That's what we're trying to develop.
Yes.
You know, I want to be able to speak with him and interact with him along the way, you know, far into the future. So I would like to speak with him and you know, so we can engage, so we can meet up at the huddle or some things that you may be doing where men are involved. And I'd like to just say to him, man, you're on the right road, bro. Because once we submit ourselves to God as men, God can do and will do anything.
Hallelujah.
And I do believe that, you know, the military, the Marines say, we're just looking for a few good men. God said he's always going to have a remnant. He's going to have someone. And it starts with a few men. And so, I like to really, really keep in touch with him.
All right. I tell you what, dude, before I let you go, I want you to share your number, your contact. And before you go, I want you to give us some more information on on the Dad's Club. So if anyone would like to be a member to find out more information or even help develop a chapter in another part of the country, because our program goes around the world. And so, you know, someone in California, New York, Florida, they hear this and say, man, I want to be a part of it. I want to start a chapter right here in my neighborhood. But you just said something there, and I was thinking about, you said God is looking for, it's always a few good men. I was thinking about Noah. They said Noah lived in a wicked and perverse generation, but he found favor with God. You mean I could find favor with God in the midst of a drug-infested neighborhood? I could find favor with God incarcerated? You know, he found favor with God and saved his whole house. Oh, my God. Imagine a man finding favor with God after all he done been through.
Yeah.
He done found favor with God for the saving of his house.
Yeah.
Yes, we deserve what happened to us, but God. Oh, I love
that. But God.
I love that. Brother Barnes, you said something here. I'll tell you what. Tell us about your Dad's Club, and we're getting ready to end this portion of our interview. We got another great guests coming up. If you have opportunity to listen in and chime in on what they have to share, but tell us about Dad Club, and if men want to be involved in something like this, or just want what would it take? Give us some numbers also.
Okay, my contact number is 972-768-3878. The Dad Club and the things that I mentioned, the huddle, and we're now there with collaboration with Dallas Independent School District. This is all in line of the vision of our pastor, Omar Jawad, and he's the founder of the Urban Specialist. And this is the vision that he has, that God has given him, that we go out, we invade, and we intrude. And as for the Dad's Club, that's for any father, role model, mentor, any man, uncle, grandfather, brother, nephew, you're welcome to get with us. And we're meeting at 1401 South Lamar at the Urban Specialist headquarters, and right across the street from the Dallas Police headquarters. And on Monday nights, we are meeting it right now. And we're, like I said, it's called The Huddle. We're coming together as men talking about real men issues, looking for real man solutions. And once again, that's 1401 South Lamar, the Urban Specialist, under the founder and the leadership of our pastor and mentor and visionary, Omar Jawad. And we're there every Monday. We're there for you. And Mr. Lewis, we'll come to you, whatever men groups you're having. But this is what we're doing. Come out and check us out and be a part of it. You're welcome.
And that's truly a blessing. That I was over there and I was looking forward to it. That's why I called you up and said, "Hey, when is the next meeting?" Because I'll be busy, but I'm never too busy to take care of my father's business. I'm never too busy to be fed. Because I do a lot of ministries, and sometimes I want to receive. I want to just sit there and just listen and see how God is touching the hearts of men and learn something. I don't have all the answers. And I tell people I don't have all the answers. I'm a technical person. I work on equipment, and I can't find it. If I can't do it on my own, I call somebody. And what better way to navigate through life and to open the Bible up? Say, "God, what would you have me to do with my finances, my relationship, with my friends, or whatever?" The answer's in the Bible.
Right.
Brother Bud, I want to thank you for what you've been sharing with us, brother. You know what, man? You got to talk again and again and again. I would love for you to come back and be a guest on the show to keep us up to date with what's going on with the Dads Club and over at the Urban Specialists, and I want to be a part of that. Matter of fact, I'm already a part because I know what you're doing. And so I want to stay in tune with that man, I believe in making an effective change. You know, I don't believe in just going through the motion. I want to grow and experience the motion. I want to be able to get all that God has for me and his people. You know, it don't do us any good to gain all this knowledge and don't want to share it or don't want to apply this knowledge. And I tell men that, brother, while you're here, learn something. Learn something and apply it. You know, my wife's grandfather, he was 92 years old, and he was going up to the library taking classes. I said, "You're 92 years old, and you taking classes?" And let me know, man, we're never to the point where we can't stop learning, you know. And I really thought about that. I said, "Man, I could be 92 years old. As long as I got some kind of sense of ability, I can accomplish whatever I want in life. It doesn't know anything. You're never too old not to accomplish the thing that you have a desire for."
Yes, sir.
And as we get ready to close, I'll let you have the last word, Sarah. And I thank you again, my brother. Thank you for being a guest on the program. You know, and so I'm excited about what God is doing with you and through the ministry and the program that you have your hands on. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be encouraged because I'm a dad. I'm a granddad, and I'm gonna be a great granddad. And it's always something to learn in every facet of this of parenthood. You never get to the point where you know it all, you know, because it's a new generation with new challenges. So encourage us as you get ready to get out of here. What makes you do what you do?
Knowing that God is always up to something. Knowing that God is always up to something. To reach back and to allow me to still be here. Because there are certain people that God has connected me to that I have not yet met. I don't know by name or face, but God has connected me. The reason why I'm still here breathing is because God has connected me to someone. And no matter what we're going through in life, know this, that God is always up to something.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And that is so true. Those are truly words of wisdom here. Because, you know, God don't make no mistake. I remember during my difficult times, I struggled with a lot of things. And I always want to know, why? And now I look back and I have a glimpse of why. Why was I homeless? Why was I addicted to drugs? Why did I talk to people, you know, when I was out hustling and doing things on my own? Now I could just talk to people like I just know them. Man, I could be friend people, and they see that God dwells in you. And they see that God does some things in your life. And God is no respecter of person. What he done for one, he'll do for another. What they said, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good.
Amen.
When we didn't have a family, now we got a family. You know, God turned that thing around. When we wasn't working, and now we work, and God turned that thing around. And guess what? God is turning around the lives and the hearts of dads to the sons and the sons to the dad. That's scripture, brother.
Yes, sir.
That's scripture.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. That concludes our interview for the day. Thank you very much. You could always go back and encourage yourself. Our show will archive Blog Talk Radio, Granny's Place, free on the inside. I'm going to send you a link to the program. We have our next guest. She's calling in right now. We're going to be encouraged by her. She's an author. She wrote a book. She's a life-changing book here. So if you have an opportunity, just chime in and listen to it for a few minutes. But we want to thank you once again. Brother, we're looking forward to coming over to the Urban Specialist and to being a part of Dad's Club. And also letting you come out and share with our young men at the Juvenile Center. They allow me to bring in guests from time to time, and I think you'll be a perfect guest for that type of setting. We have young men over there 17 years old, And so they are on the verge of manhood. And so we need some men to speak to them.
Yes, sir. So whenever, let me know.
All right, we'll do. God bless you. Thank you now for
bless
what you're
you.
Doing
Thank
for the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God
Thank
bless you. What a great interview that we had for you, my dear brother. Brother Bond with the Dad's Club and the Urban Specialist. We was talking about how encouraging men to be all they could be in the Lord. Now, we have our next guest on the line here. We want to thank her for calling in. We're excited about Evangelist Taylor. Evangelist Taylor is on the line. Good morning, Evangelist Taylor.
Good morning. Good morning.
Welcome to our internet program.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Sound like you're on fire for the Lord.
Amen. Yes, I am. To God be the glory.
Evangelist Taylor, we have been talking off the air. You are very gifted and talented. You have wrote a book, and God has done some great things in your life in the ministry. Please introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us about the book God put to your hands to do, and encourage us to be strong in the Lord.
Amen. First of all, I'd like to give God all praise, glory, and honor here today. To be on, Brother Minister Joel's radio show today. First of all, and I give God all the praises. I give God all the glory, and I give him all the honor. And I thank God. I can't thank him enough because God put a book inside of me, and my name is Evangelist Wanda Jo Taylor. I live here in Dallas, Texas. And I just thank God for, choosing me. He put a book inside of me in 2007, but I kind of started writing on it, maybe doing a book about 2 years before that, and then I stopped, but then I started really writing, and I started, and I couldn't stop, so it took me about 9 months to finish, and I can't thank God enough that when I started writing my book, and the name of my book is A Gay Woman, Ex-Player, Ex-Pimp, My Deliverance. And as I was writing the book, it was a setup by God because God knew while I was writing that book, he knew my deliverance was in my book.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's awesome. Hey, I just pause that for a minute. I want you to reflect on the title of that book because that's our theme of our program, say help change a life. And who can change a life but Jesus? Amen. Amen. It says being free on the inside. Who can set you free on the inside? It's Jesus who the Son said free is truly, truly, truly free indeed. I thank you. I thank you for having the boldness to write this book, having the boldness to stand on God's word, having the boldness to say I'm free on the inside, and having the boldness to attempt to change, to let people know their life can be changed through the word of God. God bless you. God bless you. Give us the title of that book again, and then you tell us about how you came about doing what you did.
Okay, again,
the book.
Name of the book again is A Gay Woman, Ex-Player, Ex-Pimp, My Deliverance.
I heard that.
Amen. Now I'm an ex-homosexual. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you.
I had to start out writing. I was a homosexual. See, God wanted me to tell it like it was. Amen. Because, now that I'm a Christian, I would have tried to kind of. Oh, that's too much. I don't want to put that in there. God already happened, hallelujah, for his glory, because I have to get to the Christians. We already saved. So like you said, the church is for the sick. The church is for the sick. The righteous don't need a physician. So what he allowed to happen, he allowed me to write it while I was in my mess. Come on now. While I was still in that homosexual lifestyle, living my life as a man for 30 years of my life. And he said we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. And my testimony is from 1 to 17, I felt like a boy trapped in a girl's body. That's real. And from 17 to 47, I felt like a man trapped in a woman's body for 30 more years. But I thank God for my mother. She was praying for me. She prayed for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank that song. She prayed for me, and my mother prayed for me. And she kept praying when I came out back in 1977. I said, I'm gay and I'm proud. And then 30 years later, hallelujah, to God be the glory. God already knew that before he put me in my mother's womb, Like he said, I chose you before the foundation of the world. I chose you before I put you in your mother's womb. I knew the day that you were going to be delivered and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So he knew. He set me up to write the book. And as I was writing the book, right before the end of the book, I ended up getting delivered. Hallelujah, for his glory. And I can't thank him enough. Hallelujah. Now my mother got her daughter back. Now I'm back the woman that God created me to be. I'm a born-again Christian filled with the Holy Ghost and his fire. Hallelujah. Because I'm like,
that's awesome. You know, yeah. I was thinking about that because there's so many people that's wrestling with this here, that's wrestling and fighting against all kinds of things, and let them know that they feel bound. But I'm glad to hear that that's deliverance, that's freedom in the word of God. I don't care how long. I do jail ministry. I said, brother, I don't care how many times you've been here. Today is your day for deliverance, you know. You know, he said before you. You choose you this day. And choose. You say, oh, I thank God for what you're doing here, because somebody need to hear this. Because let's face it, my sister, the gay lifestyle is not foreign to the church. We got them in there, but we don't want to say nothing about it. You know,
that's true.
They there, and then they trap like that. They don't want they don't want to be like that, but they trap, and because they say if I tell somebody I'm gonna be exercised out, they ain't that gonna understand. But yet God put people in their
list. Love. God talk about love. We got to love them out of sin. Hallelujah. Come on now. We don't do it in love. It's in vain anyway. So God just told me to go back. Matter of God, he told me, Minister Joy, he told me to go back to the homeless. He said, I command you, I instruct you, and I commission you to go back to the homosexuals in love and spirit and truth and let them know if he did it for me, he can do it for them. But they got to want it. Hallelujah. And it's so many of them that I minister to everywhere I go. That's my calling. He said the anointings would destroy the yoke, man of God. And so when I go out and minister here in Dallas, they sent for me to come, you know, different states and to give my testimony to glorify the Lord or to preach. But it's not about me. It's about the Lord and these lost souls. And he used me for his glory. And when they listen, they be like, they're so broken. Because I know about that lifestyle. I was so broken, and I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I didn't know what to do. I was, you know, searching for love in all the wrong places, because my mother never told me that she loved me. My dad had never told me he loved me, so I was searching for love in all the wrong places. And I got molested. But I was already gay. I was already gay before I got molested, so that just really sealed the deal, amen? And it was a trick of the enemy, but I thank God that now I'm back the woman that God created me to be. And when I go back to them, and like God said, go back and give my people hope, encourage them, and inspire them, and let them know. Let the parents, the sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles and cousins and friends, let them know if he did it for me, he can do it for their children and their cousins, their sisters and their brothers, because there's nothing too hard for God. And I thank God for the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, because he said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And he said, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves in prayer and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. He said, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. I turn from that homosexual lifestyle. I turn from living my life as a man for those 30 years. I wore men clothes all that time. But I was tired. I needed to be free. But I found out what God did. When I surrendered it all, I never forget, Minister Joel. I never forget when I was in the church. I was going to church. Pastor Tony Evans planted my seed. I wanted to go back to the church, like you said, yes, to do the church. I wanted to go back to church back in the 80s. And my mama was too ashamed because it was really, you know, it wasn't out like it is now.
Yeah.
And I said, Mom, I'm tired of going to these gay churches. You know, I started out as a child, as an usher in the church. But then when I came out to be, you know, gay and proud and all that old kind of stuff, then now I'm tired of going to gay churches. And so that's why they go to the homosexual churches, you know, so they won't, you know, because they know people judge and look at them and talk about them.
Yeah.
Instead of praying for them and, oh, look, she'll, you know, back
and
in the day.
And encouraging them and stuff.
Yeah,
that is so true.
Yeah. So
you know, and you were saying something there because you know, as Jesus was doing his earthly ministry, he went to the lepers. He went to those outcast people, and he showed them love and compassion. But we as Christians, sometimes we don't want to do that. You know, we say, oh, no. And, you know, we know that that lifestyle isn't pleasing to God, but that's a sin condition, and it has to be confronted and changed through the word of God. You can't make nobody. I tell you what, I work downtown at the jail. They got a whole, they got several floors of guys. They can't make get right. It has to be God. I don't care how long you incarcerated me. I went to drug recovery. Guess what? I went to 3 or 4 drug recovery program. Guess what? They couldn't make me get right. I had to get right with God. And my sister, I'm glad you said that there, because regardless of what people want for you, unless you want something and God, you in sync with what God, it just won't work. It just won't work. But you know, today, our young ladies and men are wrestling with identity crisis. And we know that this is a thing that the world has said it's okay based on what you experienced some time ago, but it's still not okay. But they need to know that even though they may experiment with it, they may choose that life for a while, they can come out. It's not what God created us to be.
Amen.
What words of encouragement can you give someone that's experimenting, that's living that lifestyle, or just thinking about something like that?
Well,
experience
is the best teacher. Hallelujah. I was in the devil's kingdom for 30 years living my life as a man. But, you know, I was one of the devil's best workers. But now, thank God, I'm one of God's best workers. But what I tell when I go up to all homosexuals, because that's my calling, that's my ministry. The name of my ministry is From Gay to God. And,
Come on now.
And so when I go up to the homosexual, first of all, I got all my pictures from my before so they can see, you know, that. And I tell them, and I walk up to them and I say, you know what? I know you're gay. I know you're homosexual, but I say, you know what? God loves you. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And the women that's masculine, God always tell me the women that's masculine, and the women men that are so feminine, he let me know that they are the chosen ones. Because he tell me to tell them when I see them, the ones that's masculine and the ones that's feminine. I can't see the women that with their friends. I ain't gonna call them their husband or their wives because that's not of God. Amen. And
amen.
I just tell them God loved them. And I say, but I can see the woman that's masculine, she is so bold for the devil. The man that's feminine, he's so bold for the devil. And so they're so bold with it, okay? They don't care. They was just like I was. They didn't care what nobody, they don't care what nobody thinks. Just like I didn't care what nobody thinks. But then when God delivered that person like he did me, and I said, and if God delivered me from homosexuality and I lived my life as a man for 30 years, he can do the same for you. And you are chosen by God. God want me to let you know you are chosen. You just running like Jonah. And I said, and I'm here to tell you something. I thank God. And I said, and I ask you, I say, God love you. And he say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. And I tell them this. And then I said, and let me show you my before. Come on, how I used to look. And they say, wow, this coming from the woman that's masculine. And then the men that's feminine, they like, wow. And even their friends would say, wow. And it's a wow because now they see me, my deliverance. They see my transformation inside and they see it out. Because he tell us to walk the walk, talk the talk, and walk the walk. See, I'm talking the talk and I'm walking the walk. Some people just talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. So I thank God for choosing me for a time as this, so I can one day tell Obama that he is wrong and he's going to have to answer to same-sex marriages. And not only that, the answer to same-sex marriage, but I'm passing that law. See, God is angry with the United States of America.
Come on now. Tell it like it is.
God we trust, but see, God is angry. You know, like I said, we're going to have to pray because there's a lot of pastors. God sent me back to them same churches that I used to go to, them gay churches when I was in that lifestyle. He done sent me back to one I used to go to. We got the biggest homosexual church right here in Dallas, Texas. It's in the we got the biggest homosexual church in the country. It's right here in Dallas, Texas. And God sent me to that pastor. And he told me, I went to him and I said, I'm coming to you in love, Pastor. God love you. I said it. You know, he tells us the greatest commandment is love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. But the second greatest commandment is love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I told him, if God did it for me, he delivered me from being a homosexual, as they say, gay. I said, he can do the same for you, Pastor. And I said, and God said, woe to the shepherd that scattered my sheep. And we went there, and do you know? He said, homosexuality, God never took it to him. I mean, he took it away from him. Now you got to give it to him. He ain't going to take nothing from him. You got to give it to him. Come on now. See, Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. I said, that's what's wrong with
him.
See, he don't give up. See, he told me, now I got this on video, because I asked my brother, said, can I video you and my sister? Cathedral of Hope right here in Dallas. Look it up. Cathedral of Hope in Dallas, Texas. That's the biggest church in the country.
You said something there, because God is not a God to take stuff from. You have to give it up. You know, I go down to the jail, and I tell these brothers as I'm going around and letting them know this Bible said, I be saying, let go and let God.
Let
go
yeah.
of the anger, the bitterness, the lifestyle, the
yeah.
frustration. Let go and let God. I recall that Jesus yeah. was going through Jericho, and a man named was blind Bartimaeus. You know, we known by our habits and our hang up. And he was,
yeah.
and he had positioned himself for the to be in the presence of God. I'd like to know how many of us are positioning ourselves, even in our sin condition, are positioning ourselves yeah. to be blessed by the true and living God. And he called
yeah.
out, Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Call him to,
yeah.
in the midnight hour. Call him during the daytime. Call him, call him, call him. And the same people
yeah.
that should tell you to keep it up, telling you to be quiet. But you that want to be saved and sanctified, want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you got to keep pushing. You got to keep calling.
That's right.
And guess what?
Amen.
He caught Jesus' attention. The author and the creator of the universe, one of the Godheads, he caught his attention. And Jesus said,
yeah.
come over here. They said, immediately, check this out. They said, immediately, he dropped his possession. What are you willing to let go and let God?
Thank
I love that. I like
God.
What you said. Because we have to let stuff go. God ain't going to take it from you. And I got to think he dropped the thing that he was familiar with. He dropped the
yeah.
thing he thought he needed to survive. He dropped the
yeah.
thing that made him up, that was a part of his character, his makeup. But he dropped
Amen.
It. And if you let
yeah.
go, God will give you something greater than you could ever, ever imagine. And if God be
Amen.
For you, who could be against you? Who gonna take it from you? Death,
yes, Lord.
Principalities,
yeah.
angels. Power,
yes.
nothing can separate you from the love of God. Oh, I'm on fire
yes.
for the Lord, my sister. Thank you, Evangelist, for sharing that.
Yes.
You know, what you said is encouraging someone else, because someone else is dealing with that. I do a little ministry, and occasionally I have to minister to an alternative lifestyle tank or a gay tank, and they'll come in there, and I did it for a year or so, and I've seen the transformation. I seen how the
yeah.
hearts were being changed. They used to come in there
yeah.
with the makeup and their eyes was painted and cheeks, and they started coming in. I was just telling them about the word of God. Slowly, this thing started
yeah.
falling off. Slowly,
Amen.
The makeup
That's
came
it. That's
out.
Word.
Slowly, the nail polish came out. I said, man, it's God. It's God
yeah,
that's doing
word.
This. It's God that's changing lives.
First. Yes, yes, we got to let the word do it. We can't do it. We got to let go and let the Holy Spirit have his way. And that's why I thank God the homosexuals, they stand there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours, an hour, 3 hours sometime listening. Because some God say sometime I have to tarry with them. They want to come out, but they don't know how. So God said, I'm going to send you to show them a way out and let them know if he did it for me, he can do it for them. But I'm here to tell you, but I was so tired of going to the gay churches, and I was like going to this one in Fort Worth and the one here in Dallas and another one here over here. I was going to the gay churches. I was tired because they talk about a lot of love. See, that's how they get the homosexual. Because that same homosexual pastor at Cathedral of Hope here in Dallas, he said that he had just became the new pastor just last year. And that's when I went to him, God sent me to him last year. And he said that homosexuality is not a sin. Oh, I I said, oh, my God, yes, it is. I told him, sin separates you from God. I say, God,
yes,
said, all unrighteousness is sin. Amen. So it ain't no big sin, little sin, how some people look at it. But I'm here to tell you. So, and I told him, I said, it's an abomination to the Lord. So I just said, I'm going to go out there giving the word. So who stood and showed himself approved? Is me. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost in me. So I told him, I went to Old Testament, and he, you know, he went to tripping. But then what I told him, Leviticus 20:13 says, if a man lies with a man as he lies with a woman, it's an abomination. They both should be put to death, and their blood should be upon them. And I said, and that's Old Testament. And then it's in Leviticus 18:2. But and then I went to Deuteronomy 22:5, and that's in the Deuteronomy 22:5 says, a woman should wear nothing pertaining to a man, nor a man put on a woman's garment, but I'll do so as abomination to the Lord. Who was wearing men's clothes was me. So that was abomination to the Lord when I was wearing men's clothes, and men wear women's clothes, okay? So that's what God was talking to me about. And he said, this is what I was talking about you when you was living your life as a man and you was wearing a men's clothes, because now I'm putting on no men's clothes. That's the spirit. So now, then he said, no, that's Old Testament. And a woman ain't supposed to preach. What I said, okay, whatever. I said, let's go over here. I said, so let me take you to New Testament, okay? Romans 1, hallelujah. And they told him, you know how he told him that, he said in Romans 1, he said, women being with women are unnatural affections. And men being with men and women being with women, and he said, if you keep on, you're gonna turn you over to a reprobate mind. And so I took them there. I said, I let them see it. I said, to me, sometimes I have to just take them to the word. But sometimes, a lot of them don't, they be like, whatever. So I'm going to let the word, and I'm going to tell them what the Bible said. And then all of a sudden now I goes to, 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. Nor fornicators, nor idlers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor drunkards, nor thieves, nor covetous. But some of you were washed and sanctified and justified for his name's sake. So now I thank God, hallelujah, that I've been washed, and us Christians, we've been washed and we've been sanctified, set apart, and, and justified and being the just for his glory. And now he just tell us now I go back to, but that's my main calling is go back to the homosexual. But I go back. I used to be on crack. Now I go back and witness to people that's on crack. And I let them know. And they be like, Christians coming to me all the time. I used to walk up to this guy one time and he was on crack. He said, Christians come up to me all the time. But how they going to tell me something about I can get off this crack? But, but they say, he said, they have never experienced it before. They don't understand. They can't relate. And I said, well, okay, now God sent me. I'm a messenger with a message from God. And if God delivered me from crack over 25 years ago, it might be 27. I think I lost count. But I know it's over 25 years that he has delivered me from crack cocaine. I didn't need no rehab. I didn't need no 12-step. All I need was get on my knees and cry out to God. To God be the glory. So now
Jesus,
I thank God.
Jesus.
So what he was doing, he was cleaning me up little by little, yes. Little by little. And I go to people that's fornicating, because I used to fornicate. And I go to men, and they be like, yeah, oh, I'm glad you're talking to the homosexuals. Yeah. Because I got it. I'm so bold because I had holy boldness. I used to build up the devil's kingdom. Now I'm going to tear down the devil's kingdom. And now I'm building up God's kingdom. And I was a ringleader. I was the big ball and shot caller in the homosexual life. I was very well known. Very. But guess what?
But God.
That I'm over here,
yes.
His side, hallelujah, serving the Lord, doing the will of the Lord, doing what God called me to do, and to preach the gospel. He said for us to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all creatures and let them know that the kingdom of God is at hand. They need to repent. And we got to blow the trumpet and let them know, because we are watchmen, and it's going to be souls and blood that's going to be on our hands if we don't tell the people what thus said the Lord. And that, that homosexual pastor at that church, he said homosexuality was not a sin. And he said, and God never took that from me. And I said, okay. I said, but my brother beat me to the punch, because I was going to ask him about Sodom and Gomorrah. But my brother beat me to the punch. He said, well, okay, pastor. Well, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And he said, let me tell you. He said that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they didn't show hospitality. I said, oh, my God.
He got that all wrong. Evangelist, we're about ready to get out of here. Evangelist, we got to end this program here. I want to thank you. You know what? I want you to come back again. You know, because I love this line of conversation that someone needs to hear this. I need to hear it because, you know, as ministries and ministers and evangelists, God brings different people into our life, and we need to know how to minister to them. We need to know that that they can be saved. Because I know if he did it for me, he could do it, and he did it for you, he could do it for them. It's always good for us to be able to just share these other things. Because guess what? Somebody hearing this program, and somebody is dealing with the issue that you discuss and with the issue that I discuss. Again, tell us how to pick up your book.
Okay, well, you can call me at 469-254-7501. If anybody want to get a book, A Gay Woman, Ex-Player, Ex-Pimp, My Deliverance. A lot of pastors have my book. A lot of homosexuals have been delivered, over 25 that I know. It's probably more than that. But I know it was like over 25 homosexuals read the book and they got delivered. So to God be the glory. And again, the number is 469-254-7501.
I like that. I like that.
469-254-7501. Okay, 469-254-7501. And the gay name of the book again is A Gay Woman, Ex-Player, Ex-Pimp. And not only that, I'm working on a movie, From Gay to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can the church say amen? Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. There you go. And you know what? We're about ready to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much. The phone line is lit up here, but we don't have time to do any calls today. But our line is always open. You've been listening to Evangelist Taylor talking about her book and her deliverance, how God have changed her life. And God is no respecter person. What he done for one, he'll do for another. You know, that's the name of our program, Help Change. You know, our name of our program is Free on the Inside. Our theme is said, Help Change Life. What you're doing is changing lives for the kingdom. What you're doing is sharing people know they can be free on the inside. And who the Son said free is truly free indeed.
Amen.
All right, God bless you. Thank you very much. What a great interview. You can always go back and listen to this show in its entirety, okay? And I'll see you the link to it, and you can encourage yourself and maybe put a little something about what's been going on in your life by using part of this here interview.
Amen. And yeah.
Well, God bless you. We're on here every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. We've been blessed with some great guests. We've been doing this a number of years, so thank you for being a part of the guest. You know, God knew you was going to be here long before I knew you. He's our program director. He knew you was good. He had you in the queue, waiting on
Amen.
You, and so
Amen.
We want to thank God. All right, well, God bless you, and we gonna talk with you later, okay?
All right, God bless you, man of God, and to God be the glory.
God
thank
bless you.
You.
Amen. Good morning, brother Daniel.
Good morning. How you doing, brother Lewis?
I'm doing great, brother. We just got through with our guest this morning, Mr. Taylor here, and we had two great guests on this morning. Brother, I'm sorry to get you in so late, man, but what's been going on with you? Brother Daniel's our co-host of Free on the Inside, and we want to thank him for his support and participation. And so we're looking forward to having you to come on with us next week to help interview our guest that God is going to allow to come on the program. So what's going on? What you got on your agenda this morning? We got 3 minutes.
Well, I'm just sitting here. I listened to her testimony, and I was deeply moved by it because there's a lot of people really don't have the strength in order to do what she's doing in order to go in these churches in order to basically rebuke the ministers. That's like you're saying, scattering the flock, you know, and it takes a lot of spiritual strength for her to do that, you know. A lot of people they get uneven when God tells you to do something, you don't do it, and then you see these people doing these things, and then you get and sometimes you get ostracized by your peers because they live. Well, God tells you don't leave them alone and let him separate. Let God separate. But then again, I also believe when God tells you something, you got to do it. Amen.
God bless you. And that is so true, Rick. Let's face it, man. We realize that that's a lot of those activities going on in the church, you know, the gay lifestyle. And it's good to know that God is able to bring people out of that lifestyle to able to allow them to speak into the lives of other men and women in the church and let them know, hey, you know, God still have need of you. You still have been chosen by God. I like the way she said that, that we've been chosen by God, and that that's a lifestyle that we can let go. Sometimes we wrestle with it. You know, can I really live this life that's pleasing to God? I tried. I'm scared. I might mess up. But if you, yes, you will, but let God. Let God work it out. Because if you fall down, he's going to pick you back up. And so, you know, because God is able. I'm saying if you fall down, because we all we don't never know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Brother Dang, I got to get out of here, man. You know, you know, I serve a God of honor, man, and our time is from 8 to 9, and so we got a few minutes to a few seconds, brother, before we sign off. I want to thank you, brother, for your support of the program. I want to thank our guest that was on here this morning here. We had a Brother Barnes. He's have a ministry, the Dad's Club, and also with the Urban Specialist that's down on Lamar. That's an organization that brings together different ministries throughout the Metroplex to come together to make to affect the community. Amen. So we ask you to go out to the Urban Specialist. They're on Lamar across the street from the police department down there. They meet on Mondays. So from 6 to 7. So please make your way down there. And also we had Evangelist Taylor. She have a great book. And she was talking about how the Word of God had an effective change in her lifestyle. An effective change. Not just a change, but an effective change. Really, that's what it is. It's more than just a 4-hour change or 3-hour. We go to church for 3 hours. We got a life change experience in 3 hours. But it's an effective change. It lasts eternity. And I love that, brother. I love that. I love that, brother. Because we don't serve a 2-hour God. We serve an eternal God. Our God is an eternity. Yeah. Brother Dang, we're about ready to get out of here. Would you like to? Okay. I didn't hear the last part of your comment there.
Okay. I'm glad what you said. People go to church, stay for 3 hours, and go back out and do it the same way. They never get it. right now, I'm going to say the prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this message that was stated today on our show. We ask you to bless us for being boldness, having the boldness and the strength and art to do your will. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that by the things that Sister Taylor has done to change the people, it ought to let them be changed and we tell them to repent from their deeds. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for letting me be on here today. I'm sorry I woke up kind of late today, but God sees everything. So in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You've been on the Free on the Inside with the host of Minister Joy Lewis and co-host Brother Ricky Daniel. Free on the Inside. We want to thank you. Please have a safe and joyful weekend and help change your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll be on here again next Saturday. If God willing, from 8 to 9. Be strong in the Lord. Tune in, listen to us, and help change someone's life in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Free on the inside.